Let's visit for a while. Let's talk about the mind of a Christian. How or why do Christians do what they do? Why do they have their mind fixed on following Jesus? Why do they put aside their former life in order to live the godly life? Let's think about that this morning. You know, Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. As a man thinks within himself, so is he. Now, I can think that I'm doing bad things, and I can go out and be a bad person. Just the opposite. I can think that I'm a good person, and I want to go out and be a good person. I want to do good things for people. Just as well, I want to be a Christian. So in my mind, I believe that I am a Christian according to the Word of God, and I go out and I live that way. I am a Christian because that's in my mind, that's how I live, that's who I want to be. But let's take a look at these things this morning. Number one, let's talk about Jesus. And we need to talk about Jesus because the whole concept of Christianity, of course, surrounds Him. It is about Jesus. It is about our salvation. It's about our God, our Father. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's talk about Jesus for just a bit. Now, I want to turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1 and verse 15. Colossians 1 and verse 15. Let's get this about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to be present, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. All right, so we get the kind of sort of the physics about Jesus, what God intended for him to be and to do, what Jesus himself did in fulfilling God's will for mankind, giving himself to die on that cross, so that we might have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins and to be with God forever. You know, a lot of people say, just believe and you'll be saved. That's nowhere in the Bible. God doesn't say that anywhere. And another group of people say, you know, all you need to do is say this sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. And the sinner's prayer, my friends, is not in the Bible. So if you put your faith in the sinner's prayer, or if you put your faith in belief only that you'll be saved, my friends, you will have completely missed heaven. And that is the absolute worst thing that will ever happen to any individual soul. Prepare now for when the Lord comes, for he will take his people home with him to live eternally with him in heaven. That's what everybody wants. That's what the soul is longing for. Now, a lot of people, in fact, the majority of people, play out their lives believing that drinking and drugs and women and men and desire and all those kinds of things, greed and ego. That's where it's at. That's where it's going to be fulfilling for everybody upon this earth. But the few who are wise enough understand that Jesus fulfills every man's needs in all ways. You read through the book of Psalms, you read through the book of Proverbs, you can read just about anything within the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and then you can turn over to the New Testament and you can see just what Jesus does for people. Now, I want to turn over to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. Let's think more about Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. Let's go in verse 3. Jesus says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But, on the other hand, here's what he did. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus," which this is in all caps in my translation, maybe it is in yours, "so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, you catch that last part, verses 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every person will bow. Think about this in judgment. Jesus knows everything that you have ever done, every thought that you have ever had, every emotion that you have experienced in your life, all the trials, all the grief, all the issues that you've had in life, all the good things and the good times that you've had in your life, and how much you have regarded him, Jesus, the judge, by the way you lived your life. And if you've lived a life that is pleasing to the Lord, according to the book of God, that is the Bible, you will be admitted into heaven. But at the same time, God knowing, or Jesus knowing everything, as I just said, about you, perhaps as not such a good person, not as someone who aligns their lives with God, that person will not have a favorable outcome. That person will be burning in hell eternally. Can I sort of have two choices? You can live beyond compare in heaven, or you can burn in hell eternally. Those are the only two choices. And when you pass, it is way too late to make one of those choices. But the way you live here on this earth, right here and now, is the way that you decide whether you want to be in hell or to be in heaven. If you're living a life of ruin, of sin, you are deciding to be in hell. But if you live a life according to God and according to Jesus, according to the Bible, then you are choosing heaven when you pass from this life. So Jesus is all about these kinds of things. There's one more place that I want to get to. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we'll work our way down to verse 20. Matthew 11 and verse 20. "Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because," why now? Because they laughed at him, because they mocked at him, because they kicked him, because they threw dirt on him. No, none of that. It's because they did not repent. And Jesus was calling out their sin. I've given you time to repent. I did miracles in your presence so that you might see the power of God. And yet you still did not repent. And he goes on to say this. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, that's the enemies of the Jews, in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for it is the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So Jesus is telling the people about his judgment of sin. But now, here's the thing. What if somebody wants to give up the garbage that's in their life? The way that they live, the way that they do things, the bum relationships that they make for themselves, the hurtful relationships that they experience. And for all of these people that Jesus had just mentioned in these cities, they are committed to sin, and yet Jesus still offers them this in verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The way that a person does things that is according to the way of God, right here, right there in verses 28 and 29, 30. This is what Jesus offers. He offers rest for your mind. He offers rest for your heart. He even offers rest for your body. And you have the opportunity to join that or to escape it. So why do people buy in to Jesus? Why do people say, you know, I've been looking at you, Jesus. I've been looking at you in the Gospels and in the Bible, and you are so completely amazing that you've done all of these incredible miracles, and that also all of the things that you've said are just revolutionary in my way of thinking. You take Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. Those are the best words that humanity has ever heard. And those that listened to him, those that heard him and gave themselves to him, are those who find that rest. To live like Jesus is to live the best life possible upon this earth. Friends, that's what people are searching for. They pay great sums of money to go to psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, to get fixed, because their life is actually pretty crummy. Their life is just no good, and they can't figure it out on their own. Had they come to a member of the Lord's body and have them explain Jesus and the situation that he's in compared to what Jesus offers, then people will buy in to that. So, that being the case, let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 12. Why do people buy in? Now listen, these words are from the Holy Spirit, which Jesus promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would come and give them all the information they need to carry out their work as Christians and as apostles. But we request of you, brethren, now this is to the church in Thessalonica, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction. Those are elders, by the way. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a way to live? Live at peace, and you can learn how to live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Those who are getting out of hand, go over and help them and say, you're walking the way that's ungodly. You need to be over here. Get away from that and come over here. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. I've got to consider you. In fact, I've got to consider people in Bay City. And I've got to see how I can do them good. That's what God says. That's what Jesus says. What the Holy Spirit says. Verse 16. Rejoice always. You're going to heaven. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace, see it again, read that again. What are we talking about? What do people want? Peace. I want peace. Oh, peace in my mind, peace in my heart, peace in my spirit. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. That means set you apart for God's work. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. If you break it down, there are a few reasons why people buy into Jesus. Number one, they are at the point of absolute loss, absolute grief, absolute pain, absolute torment, and they need to be relieved of that. Another point is why people come to Jesus is there are some incredibly intelligent people out there that have been proclaiming themselves to be atheists. And then somebody just introduces them to the thought about Jesus Christ. And they laugh at it because they're atheists and they're super intelligent. I'm talking about people that are noble. C.S. Lewis, Lee Strobel, a lot of these people. And they actually begin to take a sincere look at what the Gospels have to say about Jesus in the Bible. C.S. Lewis thought it all the way through, logically, mentally, and he said, this must be true. Lee Strobel set out to disprove Jesus. Lee Strobel was a journalist working for a major newspaper. And he said, I'm going to look into this Jesus thing. And he got to the resurrection part. And he said, this has to prove that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. And then the third part, reason, is that people are kind of wise. They live up to their own thinking and finally understand that they need Jesus Christ in their lives. And they choose to go to heaven. Now, if you were to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for just a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Did you catch that? God is freely giving you all you need to get to heaven. And beyond that, blessings so wonderful that we're not even imagining it. So you read on in verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit,
combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Do you know what? A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. You got to get your mind in that right set. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. And that's exactly what we're talking about this morning. So then, what is it in the mind of a Christian? Now, I'm talking about a person who determines that they want Jesus Christ in their life. They want to go to heaven. They want salvation. They want their sins removed and their guilt removed, their conscience clear. And they go to the Bible and they study and they look. Hopefully some Christian will actually help them do these things. And as that person studies with that one person decides, you know what? Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, you got to believe that he is the Son of God. Most everybody on earth would probably say that. Not everybody, mind you, but almost everybody would say that, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus wants people to repent of their sins. You remember there in Matthew 11, it was all those cities, Chorazin, for example, who would not repent even though the miracles were done in their cities. So Jesus wants everybody to repent. What's that mean? I got to stop living in sin and I start living in righteousness. That's the thing. That's what I need to do. That's what Jesus wants me to do. Then I must confess publicly. Otherwise, it's not much of a confession. So I've got to say publicly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and our Lord. And then I also read in the scriptures. And the world just fights against this for some reason. Well, yeah, we know the reason. It's because back in the 1600s, people said, nah, you don't need to be baptized. But Jesus said you need to be baptized. And so then a person is baptized to wash away their sins and to be with Jesus Christ. And so that mind of a Christian comes out in the way that they live. Good men give off good things. Bad men give off bad things. Now, I want to turn your attentions back, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's imperative. That's key. You know what we're studying here? The mind of a Christian. So what's that mean? A Christian has to have a new mind. All right, verse 24. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth with one another, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He goes on to say, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you.
Jesus has lots of things for us to think about. In Ephesians 4, the same thing in Colossians 3. As a matter of fact, you'll find this in various places, in various forms, some shorter, some longer. You get all that. You understand that. But Jesus wants our mind to be like this chapter. That's something that we have to grow in. Just because you've been baptized and washed away your sins, and you are perfectly clear of sin at that moment you rise up out of the water, does not mean that you have all of this stuff immediately applied to your brain. Instead, you must look at these things, and you can make a checklist. Am I not handling anger the way that the Lord wants me to? Am I saying words that I should not say because I am so angry? Do you say things about one other person because he or she did something wrong and you just blast with anger and you say, you just eat that guy up with your words? That's not the way Jesus wants you to be. God doesn't want that. So you've got to have the mind of Jesus Christ so that you may please the Lord and be ready for salvation when He comes.